although fully human, fully God at the same time. All of this wasn't new. And so we always talk about, oh, they murdered Jesus. I want us to understand that Jesus wasn't murdered. He gave his life. He gave his life up willingly for all of those that will come to him. All of those that come to him and say, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. He willingly took on our sin upon his shoulder so that we could receive the grace of God through faith. Through faith in him who was crucified, died, and rose from the dead. What a beautiful thing. And if we could wake up every morning with that on our mindset, John 3:16, probably the most famous scripture out there, right? Because God so loved the world, oh, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. And so I come every day I wake up and I've got a smile on my face knowing that I serve a resurrected king. Not only when he was riding into Jerusalem, they were serving him and worshiping him as a king, but he rose from the dead as King of Kings. And who did he make kings in place that Lord that he reigns over? Us. So he is King of us. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he's the high priest. Who's the priest? Us, his children, the saints of God, all who receive him receive a ministry to reconcile those that don't know Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:18. And so we know this. Sometimes I'm preaching to the crowd, right? Preaching to the choir because you guys already know these things. But this is the beauty of it. And on one day out of the year, Resurrection Sunday, we put on the marquees. He is risen. Facebook is filled all throughout. He is risen. He is risen. But guess what? He's risen 365 days of the year, not just today. Every single day of our lives. And what happens is many times we get so complacent with things that we don't realize we serve a risen God. Yep. We serve a risen Christ. He's alive and well right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, and has given us everything that we need to get through this life. And given us everything that we need to have eternal life. And given us everything that we need when we're in that eternal walk with him in heaven. Amen? And so our job right now is to pray heaven on earth right now. And to live out heaven on earth right now. Because God so loved the world. Because of that, we have what we have today. And we've been talking about not allowing circumstances of life to take us out. But let's be transparent and let's be real. And let's have a mindset that understands who we are in Christ Jesus. That we don't have to go through life as orphans. But we've been now what? Adopted. Amen? Yep, yep, yep. We have a father. Amen? Yep. Who grew up without a father in the natural? Probably lots of hands if I asked them to go up. But we serve God who is a good father, a good, good father. I'm in Matthew 28, 1 through 10 today. And in Matthew 28, 1 through 10, this is just simply a simple message today of the account of the empty tomb. And it goes on, it says, reading at verse 1, Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb. I'm stopping there. I'm stopping there because I think I want to take a little bit of a trail here and talk about the end of the Sabbath and the first day of the week. Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday is known for many to be one of 2 days that many people who call Jesus Lord make it an opportunity to go to church. They make the time to actually go to church. So we have people that call Jesus Lord and Savior, but they only make it to church on Christmas, right? Or they only make it to church during Easter. And I'm not calling them out, and I'm not saying anything bad, but I want to bring an understanding today of some things. And many times in life, we don't understand the perception, or we don't understand things because our perception is off. Or we see things wrong. And so I want to talk about Sunday. You see, people, when they come to church many times, they're saying, you know, I wish it would hurry up because this is my weekend off and I've only got maybe this day and it needs to hurry up. Or they'll say, you know, I'm not going to go to church at all because it's my weekend. I want you to understand that Sunday is the week beginning. Saturday is the week end. It is. So God said, in the beginning, let there be light. And light came across the firmament. That light became sun day. Do you follow me? It was the very thing, the very first thing that God did is spoke light, sun day. And then Jesus Christ on Resurrection Day was the very beginning of the new light of Christ rising on sun day. So Sunday isn't the last day of the week. Now, internationally, they would say that Saturday, Sunday is the weekend. But did you know that Japan, America, and Canada, Saturday is the last day of the week, Sunday is the first day of the week. For a Christian, Sunday is the first day of the week. And for the Hebrews, Sunday is the first day of the week. So when we get our mind right, Sunday is the start of your week, not the end of the week. And you know what? A really, really good way to finish something is to start it good. Does that make sense? So I want to start every beginning of the week, Sunday, in a good mindset. That's why I totally talk to people about make your bed in the morning, right? Start your day off well. Make your bed, right? They say the best meal of the day is breakfast. Start your day off good. Eat breakfast. Break the fast. But it's biblical. Sunday is biblical. And it's biblical for us to come together, not to forsake the gathering one to another. So I just did an encouragement for those listening or those that are here maybe, and maybe you don't make church a priority in your life, is to understand that Sunday was set aside very, very specifically. You see, Jesus Christ had to rise on Sunday. He had to rise on the new day. He had to rise in the beginning because it's a new beginning for us. When he rose from the dead, the new covenant started. You hear what I'm saying? When he rose from the dead, it was the light of Christ rose. Yep. New light, new day. Sun, remember on the seventh day, God rested, Saturday. Are you following me? Do you see the difference? There's meaning behind words. There's meaning behind these things. And so I just wanted to bring some clarity to that. So remember, Sunday is the beginning. Start your day off right, man. We're to run a race. You ever been to like the quarter-mile races? You know the quarter-mile races? If they don't start the race well, they don't finish good, right? They're racing for time, so they get their tires heated up, they spin them out, they get them heated up so that they grab right when the light turns green, boom, they're gone. So they have a good start, so that they have a good finish. That's what Sunday is. This is for us so that we have a good start to the week, so that we finish Saturday good, and then we start over again on Sunday. It's a good start. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear not, for know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified, but he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord laid, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. Says it twice, it's important, from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Behold, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they did run to bring his disciples the word. I'm going to stop there for just a second. Remind me, I go back to verse 9. There are people in the church that would say that women don't have a leadership or a rightful place in church bodies. There are those that would say it. But I'm going to tell you here today that the first preachers of the good news were women. Yep. The first evangelists that took the good news out were women. And you can combat me if you want, but I'm telling you, it's in the Word. All right? Who brought the good news that Jesus was raised from the dead? Thank you for our women. And as they went to tell disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, now Jesus met them as they went to tell the disciples, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. When I go into worship, When I go into worship, and we look at worship being led by worship leaders, I go in like, okay, we're going to listen to a song, we're going to praise, we're going to worship. But you know that in the biblical times, which I would say is right now even, okay, that whenever they met Jesus, they fell to his feet and worshiped him. The lady came in and she washed his feet with her tears and wiped his feet clean with hair. Others would come in and they would break expensive perfume bottles and anoint the feet of Jesus. Worship wasn't about the next best, greatest song that was sung. Worship was about serving and worshiping Jesus Christ, and in that lifted praises up to heaven. Sometimes we go into worship with the wrong mindset. We go into worship going, ooh, what's going to be the next song? Ooh, I love this music. But worshiping Jesus isn't about the music. That's our halal praise. That's our clamorously foolish, hey, thank you, Jesus. But to worship God is to lay down your life for him in a way that says you are the reason I have and draw breath. Things to think about. And then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren. And they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. He is risen. Two parts in this part. And we know that he's alive, but I just wanted to talk about the word risen for a minute. In the Greek, it's agiro, and it means simply to waken. So we think, okay, Jesus, he's awake. But it also means from death, from sleep, from disease, from obscurity, or from that unknown or unimportant area of life, from inactivity, from ruin, from non-existence. The word risen is where we get the word resurrection. Why is it significant and why is this important for us as Christians? Because when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he took us out of the place of obscurity, of not being seen. He took us out of the place of ruin. He took us out of the place of slumber because we have resurrected spirits in us now. Remember, we were born with spirits that were corruptible. And now we're born again with spirits with a spirit that's incorruptible. Our spirit in us was dead and diseased, but the new spirit in us is alive and well. You see, as Jesus rose from the dead, we have now also rose from the dead when we are in him, which means we don't have to live a life in ruin. So the question today is, are you resurrected? Are you out of obscurity? Are you known? Do you see yourself as important? The inactive life that you once lived, is it now active and alive? We're always calling for Christians to wake up, to wake up. Are you awake today, knowing who you are in Jesus Christ? You see, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Yep. Amen? Because he lives, every fear is gone. Is he alive or is he dead? Alive. He's alive. Because he lives, I'm a new creation. Because he lives, I'm victorious. Put yourself in there. Because he lives, I am set free. Anybody set free today? Anybody set free yesterday and the day before? We're not in bondage anymore. Amen? Because he lives, I'm called of God. Because he lives, I'm the light of the world. Because he lives, I'm the salt of the earth. Does your life lack flavor? Is it lacking in an area? Does it need to be spiced up a little bit? Jesus Christ said, you're the salt of the earth. You know, there's a saying that says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Did you know you can make anything drink if you give it enough salt? And we're called to be the salt of the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? So are we flavoring the things around us for the kingdom of God? Right? Amen? Because he lives, I'm right with God. Who's right with God? Because he lives, you're right. You're righteous. You have a right relationship. Because he lives, you're justified. Because he lives, you're sanctified. You're set apart. You're a different person. You're not the creation once before. You're a new creation. Because he lives, you're forgiven. Because he lives, you're free from condemnation. Romans 8:1, for you did not receive the ministry of condemnation, but the ministry of the new life through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because he lives, you're more than a conqueror. Anybody feeling like a conqueror today, or just feeling like you're just bound up and burdened? If you're burdened, you can be set free. Amen? If you're in bondage, you can be set free. Because he lives, you're healed. Because he lives, you're blessed. Because he lives, you're favored. Because he lives, you're his child. And because he lives, most importantly out of all of these things, you're loved. Because he lives, you're loved. John says it this way. He loved us first. And because he loved us, we know now how to love. Amen? Most important thing in life. Acts 1:8 says, but you, everybody say you means me, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. And then you will be my witnesses to testify about me in Jerusalem and through Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want you to know right now, your Jerusalem is right here. Across the railroad tracks is Samaria, and Judea is when you're on vacation. Everywhere we go, we're to be a witness to Jesus Christ. But we become that powerful witness to Jesus Christ when we understand that we have received power, right? I want to talk about this word power for a minute. Now the power, the word power in the Greek, is dunamis. D-O-O-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis, dunamis, all right? This power, now the Bible, not me, the Bible says you will receive power. All that come to know him as Lord and Savior will receive power, right? This is miraculous power. This is ability. This is abundance. Didn't Jesus Christ came on John 10:10, he said, Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, and life more what? Abundantly. So the word power has the meaning of abundance. So you understand that as a Christian, your abundant life only comes through the power of God that you've been given. Amen. Line it up. Can you line that up? My abundant life comes through the Holy Ghost that lives in me. My abundant life comes through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's the abundance of life. It is also, this power has meaning. It means something. It also means might. It also means strength. And it also means wonderful work. Did you know that there are many, many people out there that do good work? Right? They do good things. Yep. Now, we're saved by grace, not by our works. But we are called to do good work. But the good work that we do isn't necessarily washing feet, right, or serving someone else. The good work that we do is done through the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. And that is also brought by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that says, this is what I want you to do. This is the good work that calls you out. It's the little small voice inside the Spirit of God that says, you should go talk to that individual. They look hurting. They look sad. They need somebody right now. It's that little unction that says, why don't you go pray for that individual? That's good work, people. That is good work. To go and be tender to someone who's never had tenderness in their life. To be compassionate to those who have been hated by many. That's why God tells us that we need to forgive and not lay it to our account, as the word came on Good Friday. Don't lay it to their account. Be above board. Know that you can set people free in this manner. You know that we know hurting people hurt people. There's a hurting world out there. Why are so many things happening that are so hurtful? Because there's hurting people out there. Did you know that a kind word turns away wrath according to the scripture, right? Good instruction. Man, so next time somebody is hateful and angry and talks bad, why don't you be kind to them and see what happens. But see, that only comes by utilizing the power of God in you. Because in the flesh, you want to do something totally different. Thank you, Jesus, that he has given us this power. And we only receive it because he's a resurrected king. Amen? This is very important to understand. The same power that all of us that are born again, the same power that we have received is the same exact power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yep. Yep.
The same power that we have received is the same power that God used to create all of creation.
Amen.
You need to think about that for a second. You see, we grow weary, we pray, and nothing happens sometimes, and we're like, why? Why didn't anything happen? And we grow weary in well-doing, and so we stop praying because we didn't see the miraculous happen. Do you know what would happen if we never, let's say if you started to pray and it didn't come to fruition, nothing happened? What if everybody just gave up? What if everybody just gave up and quit praying because it didn't happen? We wouldn't see the miracles that we see today. Do you know there's miracles that happen every single day of our lives around us, and we don't even know it because we don't have the eyes to see sometimes? We're looking for maybe the new leg to grow back, but in the reality, there's all kinds of miracles that take place. Matter of fact, when somebody's born again, I call that a miracle. When their old spirit become new, I call that a miracle. What happened if the Christians grow weary in well-doing, quit praying because they're not seeing it happen? There are those in theology that would have you think that that was for a time back then and that stuff doesn't happen now. But I'm here to tell you, I serve a living, live God who changes not. And it does happen today. The blind will see. The dead will be raised. I close with this old hymn. And I'm not singing it, so don't be afraid. But this is a call to all of us. This is a call to all of us. And it's called, Rise Up, O Men of God. And I would say women and children. Amen. And it's written by William Pearson Merrill. And it's based on the scripture of 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12. And this is the close, guys. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Rise up, O men of God, in one united throng. Rise up, O men of God, tread where his feet have trod. Give heart and soul and mind and strength. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. On this Resurrection Sunday, examine yourself and see where God has you right now. And maybe see where you have your own mindset. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. The Bible tells us that if God is for us, what can man do to us? So fear not, or evermore. Rise to your feet and let's close in prayer. Rise up. Father, I am so grateful for every day that you allow us to live. And Father, we don't take it for granted. And Lord, I thank you right now that you just touched the heart of everybody, Lord. Every person here, all those that are listening. And Father, that we take seriously the things that you have done for us and the things that you have given us. And Father, on this day, I thank you that we do serve a resurrected King. That we serve a God that is alive and well, that we serve majesty on high. And Father, I pray, Lord, that your glory would touch each and every person, Father, and it would rest as a weight upon them, Father, a manifested presence of you. Lord, I thank you for our children today. I thank you for families and loved ones. And Father, on this day, we give you all the praise and glory that you have shown us a way on how to live. And Father, I pray that you would touch those that have drawn far from you. And I pray that you would draw them closer to you. And if there are any that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that you would speak to them and that they would just simply confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that you, Jesus, died for their sin and you've rose from the dead. And your word says that you will forgive and you will make them your children. And so, Father, we just give you praise and glory for new lives, this kingdom that we live in, and your power that lives within us. In Jesus Christ's glorious name, amen. God bless you. Those of you who had children, we're going to wait for the children to come back in. We'll give instruction, and then we'll meet across the field. Because of the dance. Yeah, I thought about that when that was happening.
There's a way around it, but I forgot I let Nathan know. I completely forgot we had a dance today.
Yeah, so. No problem. It's a lot to plan. Yeah, thanks.
You know, you got to preach this next week and next week and next week.
Hey, he is risen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, John 3:16. Yeah, amen.